It's really their own gluttony that leads to their downfall. They fear and think that it is starvation, or a slow war of attrition that will bleed them dry bit by bit. But as Glazer points out, it's usually the opposite. It's getting too big, too fast, which, ironically, is caused by that fear of starvation. Welcome to the Happy, Healthy Human Podcast. I'm your host, Paul Levitin. What do the happiest, healthiest humans all have in common? They are students of success. In my mission to help both you and I become the happiest, healthiest humans we can be, I have studied success at all levels. And after spending over a decade working in the field of human development and flourishing, I can tell you with certainty, success leaves clues. On this show, I investigate and explore the common clues and foundational principles that tie together success in all areas of life. Whether it's happiness, health, wealth, relationships, it's all a part of the human experience. By following these success clues and understanding the underlying success principles, you will find that success is not simply a possibility, it's guaranteed. Every Tuesday, I give you simple, straightforward action steps and tools using these clues and principles of success to help you become the happiest, healthiest human you can be. A lot of people are stuck, worried about starving when they'd be better served watching out for gluttony. Bob Glazer is an executive and author who hosts one of my favorite podcasts on leadership and personal development. He also has a great blog and newsletter that I really enjoy, covering a variety of topics. Glazer has spent over 3 decades building businesses, leading them, and helping some turn themselves around when they aren't running at full speed. Beyond that, in his role as an author and a podcaster, he has studied the success of hundreds of businesses, interviewing countless CEOs and executives on their successes and failures, which grants him a unique perspective and a true expert status. He is a student of success, that is for sure. And the other week, Bob wrote a newsletter talking about a common occurrence he's noticed that, in his opinion, leads to failures in a lot of big businesses that he's observed over the years. The article, which I've linked in the show notes if you want to read it, juxtaposes starvation and gluttony. If you read any tech blogs or watch an episode of Shark Tank, you'll see a lot of talk about funding and seed rounds and organizing and securing the next loan for the next fiscal year. And if you turn on the news, you hear talk about the incoming recession, how inflation is causing Americans to tighten up their purse strings and buy less, and how businesses need to figure out ways to get people to spend more. People are getting more thrifty. People are changing their buying habits and consuming habits. All of this can sound like a nightmare scenario for any major business who, by the virtue of surviving in the marketplace, is always looking to get people to consume more and spend more. So it was interesting to read this article where Glazer proposed that it is not lack, or as he called it, starvation, that kills most businesses, but rather excess, or to use his words, gluttony. Basically, he explained that what he has observed over the years is that while so many businesses are concerned with raising more money or what will happen in a recession, it's really their own gluttony that leads to their downfall. They fear and think that it is starvation or a slow war of attrition that will bleed them dry bit by bit. But as Glazer points out, it's usually the opposite. It's getting too big, too fast, which, ironically, is caused by that fear of starvation. It's like a stray dog that when you bring it into your house and you feed it, it eats until it's sick. It's so worried that it will never eat again, it gorges itself to its own detriment. And for companies, it's very much the same. But how can growth be bad for a business? Isn't that the whole goal? Is there such a thing as bad growth? Well, it's true that growth is usually a good thing. It's the main goal for companies as well as people. But as companies grow, many of them tend to lose sight of the main objective. they set out to do one thing and one thing well. Then, with growth, comes success, and then hubris. The ego comes in, and naturally, people start thinking about more. And this is why startups can often take down a big behemoth of a company. Startups are lean, and they have very few employees. They can pivot quickly. Ironically, when they do this well, they fall victim to the same trap. They grow, they become the behemoth themselves, another startup comes in to replace them, and the cycle goes on. It's all in the pursuit of more, 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 more. It's the disease that plagues the 21st century. If you were in New York City in the early 2000s, you might remember the cupcake craze. Cupcake shops, cupcake restaurants, cupcake vending machines were popping up everywhere. I mean, maybe it happened in other places, but it was a big thing in New York. And the leader of this trend was a company called Crumbs Cupcakes, which took over as the front runner in the cupcake game. And as the trend for cupcakes boomed, the company looked to capitalize. They took on a strategy of rapid expansion, securing more locations and opening more stores. In a market that was becoming quickly saturated, they feared competition. They feared other companies coming into their turf and taking market share. They were afraid of being starved out, so they chose to put their foot on the gas full throttle. And maybe you can guess how this story ends, especially since, maybe you've noticed, you don't see Crumbs Bakeries anymore and probably haven't heard that name in a while. Trends die. Expansion slows. And Crumbs had bitten off more than it could chew, trying to grow faster than the market would allow. They were so afraid of the other bakeries stealing their customers, yet that caused them to grow to a size where they didn't have enough customers to sustain their own growth and size. They went from one of the fastest growing companies in the country to filing for bankruptcy and closing all of their stores just a few years later. Gluttony was what killed them. And you might hear this and think, okay, but what are we supposed to do? You've got to strike while the iron's hot. The whole point of business is to grow. But as the old wisdom goes, sometimes less is more. The example Bob Glazer uses in the article to highlight this is about Apple. While Apple is the biggest company and brand in the world right now, worth literally trillions, it wasn't always like that. In the early 90s, Steve Jobs was fired from Apple, and the company spent most of that decade in a tailspin, trying to get itself out from underwater. And eventually, Jobs was rehired in 1999, and one of his first major moves was to reduce the amount that Apple was doing. He took their product offerings from over 300 unique products to less than 10. And the rest, as they say, is history. Now, Apple is known for the phone, the iPad, laptops, AirPods. I mean, maybe you can think of three or four other things that they sell. And even that seems like a lot from a company that was just the MacBook and the iPod for so long, up until they revolutionized everything with the iPhone and then did it again with the iPad. But that's the point. Apple's great success was not a fluke. Steve Jobs realized that if Apple was going to be successful, it was going to be by doing small things better than anyone else in the world. They didn't have to, and they didn't want to, compete with the Dells and the Microsofts and whoever else was out there. The secret was to do less and execute it flawlessly. So while Crumbs looked to do more of the same, to lean on what was working and continue to double down, assuming that it would work forever, Jobs and Apple took the opposite route. Do less, but do it better. And the interesting thing to me about all of this, as I was reading this article, I immediately thought, oh, this is what everyone does. I sometimes joke with my coaching clients that 90% of my job is just telling them, slow down and do less, not more. And that's because all humans have inside of us an inclination to want to speed up. When something is working, the obvious thought becomes, do more of that. Because we want the result faster. We want to speed through the hard part, which tends to be uncomfortable. So it's our natural conclusion when something seems to be working to just double down, let it ride. And sometimes that is the answer. There is a level of, yeah, just simply do more. That's what you need. If you're working out once a week and wondering why you aren't getting results, then the answer is probably do more. So if you're in the camp of chronically underperforming, if you're not showing up at all, then this advice isn't for you. Because remember, Steve Jobs and Apple did not simply do less. They did less so that they could execute ruthlessly and flawlessly with the projects they had decided to keep. That is the key. And what I've come to find when working with people is the same thing that Bob Glaser found working with companies. For so many of us, it's not actually doing too little where we struggle. We all live in a fear of scarcity. We live in a world of limited resources. There's limited money, land, possessions. We are constantly running calculations and tabulations of how much we have, how we can save what we have, and how we can get more. Not to mention our most precious resource of all, which is time, and time is inherently limited since we will all die one day. And all of that creates a feeling subconsciously of, I need more now, not tomorrow, today. Time is running out. Money is running out. I need more, 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 more. Like I said, it is the disease of the modern age. It is the real epidemic of the 21st century. But the world really does have limited resources. We really do have limited time. Doesn't that mean that you should make the most of it? I mean, if scarcity spurs you forward, wouldn't that be a net positive still? And that could be the case, except that paradoxically, it usually isn't, because most things have diminishing returns. Some things operate under the principle that some is okay, but more is too much and will actually harm you if you keep going. Lots of things follow that rule. Medicine, you probably inherently understand that if two Advils help your headache, you wouldn't throw back a handful of 20 Advils to get rid of your headache 10 times faster. Exercise also works like this. Lifting weights, running, whatever you choose to do, is probably good up until a point. A point that once you pass it, the thing that was once helping you is now hindering you. Literally, that's how you get injured. Same can be said for eating well, especially when it comes to weight loss. People tend to naturally assume, well, if I can lose weight by creating a calorie deficit, then I can just create a larger calorie deficit by eating less, and then I'll lose weight faster. And if I eat nothing, then that's the biggest calorie deficit possible. And then what if I eat nothing and run 5 miles? That would be even more of a calorie deficit. And it keeps going like that. But anyone who has tried that strategy probably knows it doesn't work. That's just called starvation, and it's not a valid strategy for weight loss or for life. And it goes both ways. Even if you aren't concerned about weight loss, you might hear that nuts and avocados are healthy for you. They're good fats. But anything, even healthy things, can be taken to extremes. If you aren't careful, that thing that was adding healthy fat to your diet becomes the thing contributing to your high blood pressure and cholesterol. And it's not just about your body. We can do this with our minds as well. I used to have a coach who called it being infobese, like obese, but with information, when people were in the habit of just endlessly consuming information. This is the person that's read all the books, listened to all the podcasts, done all of the courses, but hasn't succeeded to do the one thing that matters. Get the goal, take the action. Because information is good. I mean, I do pretty much nothing all day but take in information. It's like my favorite pastime. But even I have to be honest with myself and check in if I'm actually making use of the endless stream of information. Because if I'm not, then it's just mental masturbation. It's just wasting time to make me feel better about myself. And that's exactly why I end every episode with an action step. Because the last thing I want is for this show to be just another piece of information that you consume but then do nothing with. So it's my hope you're actually getting real-world benefit from what we're doing here. But just like the business who thinks, but I have to grow, I have to expand. That's what business is about. If I'm not growing, I'm dying. There's truth to that. I mean, I say that quote, if you aren't growing, you're dying. I've said it many times on this show. The thing is that if you're living in scarcity, you're always looking to avoid starvation. You become so worried about surviving that you keep looking for more, which leads you to spreading yourself too thin. Eventually, being spread too thin becomes unsustainable, and the bottom falls out from under you. Crumb's Cupcake could have been a great business making millions of dollars for its owners and employees for decades to come, but it had to be bigger. It had to grow. It had to expand. It had to IPO to capitalize. And again, there's nothing wrong with that in theory. I mean, look at Apple. They are, ironically, the definition of gluttony now. They have grown bigger than I think even Steve Jobs could have imagined. But they did it through retracting, through pulling back and focusing on what they could control, rather than just by trying to cast their net wider and wider until they'd have so many plates spinning that one of them would inevitably fall. It's interesting as well that the concept of starvation and gluttony, as Bob Glazer pointed out, so many businesses are so afraid of starving that they end up eating themselves to death. And with people, we tend to be so afraid of doing too little, of going too slow, of not achieving enough or getting there fast enough, that we end up overloading ourselves to the point of breakdown and burnout. It almost seems like it's just human nature. But is that the case? Are we gluttonous to a fault? Well, let's look at the world. I said that overconsumption and more, more, more is the disease of the 21st century, and you can see that play out in the real world. For the first time in human history, more people are dying from consumption, from gluttony, than are from starvation. Go back even less than a century, and starvation was a real issue all over the world. I mean, it still is today. Something like 10% of the world population is going to bed hungry and risking starvation each night, which is too much. But what's crazier is that the number of humans suffering from diseases like high blood pressure, heart disease, type 2 diabetes, has for the first time surpassed the amount of people afflicted with starvation. And if you aren't aware, things like heart disease, type 2 diabetes, lung disease, these are things called lifestyle diseases, since they are, as you might have guessed, caused by your lifestyle, meaning they are caused by things we control, and quite often, things we consume. Food, alcohol, cigarettes, more, more, more. Easy access to food and resources during the 20th century was an economic and cultural revolution. It got us out of scarcity. It changed the world for the better. But like all things, it can be taken too far. And that's what we're starting to see now. It is no longer starving we need to fear, but gluttony. When it comes to living a happy, healthy life, doing too little is detrimental, but so is doing too much and spreading yourself too thin. So here's your action step for this week. Where can you do less to do more? Think of Steve Jobs cutting back on 300 plus Apple offerings so that the company could ruthlessly and aggressively go after the small handful of products that would eventually change the world and turn them into the largest company of all time. Where can you cut back so that you can focus on the things that actually matter? Where have you been looking to add more simply for the sake of adding more? Maybe it's your business. Maybe it's in your exercise routine. Remember that more is not better. Better is better. Continually adding to your plate sounds ideal until it becomes so full that the whole thing flips over and it all ends up on the floor. You don't have to worry about starving anymore. Now, your focus needs to be on being sure not to be gluttonous. That's it for today. Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this episode or got value from it, you can support the show by sharing it with a friend and giving them the gift of a happier, healthier life. You can also leave a rating and review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. That helps boost the show on those platforms so more people can discover it and we can all grow together. I'll see you back here every Tuesday and Thursday morning. And until then, stay happy, stay healthy.